You stop and think about if it weren't for God's goodness in your life this past week, let alone this past year, where you would be in life. It's an amazing thing to understand that God's grace and goodness is at work in our lives on a moment-by-moment basis. I can look back over this past year, and really my mind, even as I've been in this service tonight, and Stephanie and I were talking even yesterday, just over about God's goodness the last 2 years specifically. She was telling me yesterday afternoon that her parents up in upstate New York were experiencing some pretty rough winter weather. And my comment to her almost immediately was like, sounds like 2 years ago. The day before New Year's Day 2 years ago when I had that head-on collision. And to see God's goodness through that situation, and even this past year when a tree fell on our van earlier this year, and just situations like that that make you stop and reflect on God's goodness in your life is an amazing thing, just to recognize how awesome God is. And that, as we read in Psalm 98:1, He truly is a God of victory and can bring us victory in our lives. But that reflection over the past year transitions to looking forward. There's something about the change of the year that just naturally causes us to do that. And as I've thought about this coming year, set some goals for myself, for our family, for my relationships, even as it relates here to our church and church family. God's really impressed upon my heart the desire and the need to pursue Christ with greater passion. As I was thinking about this service, the new year, all of those thoughts and swirling around in my head, in my heart, and doing some preparation for this service, God led me through an article I read, actually, to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, Haggai the prophet is contemporary with Ezra. If you're familiar with the context, it was about 70 years prior, not quite 70 years, about 67 years prior that Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Jerusalem and taken many from Jerusalem and Judea captive back to Babylon. Under Cyrus and then Darius at the time of Haggai, many of them have been allowed to return to Jerusalem and have been given the resources to rebuild God's temple. But through a series of events, God's temple was put on hold, and Haggai, the prophet, is really coming to the children of Israel to challenge them with the word of the Lord to get back to passionately doing what God would have them to do. They have put the temple of God on the back burner. And in Haggai chapter 1, Haggai calls them out for focusing on themselves and their own lives, dwelling comfortably in their own homes, while God's house sat unfinished and uncared for. And here was Haggai's challenge in chapter 1. You find it in verse 5, and you find it again in verse 7. And it was simply this: "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts," read the next three words with me out loud, would you? "Consider your ways." Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, say it again with me, consider your ways. Simply, the thought is to think about, ponder what it is you've done, what it is you're doing, and what you're going to do. There's a personal application here. The word consider is a unique Hebrew word that is a combination of both a verb and a noun. The verb, of course, the action being to think about, to ponder, to consider what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do. The noun part of the word, speaking of the heart, the mind. So while Haggai is addressing the congregation of Israel, he's addressing a group, a body, he is making application to each individual. How easy it would be, wouldn't it, for one of the individuals in Israel to say, well, he's challenging us about the temple of God, but I don't have anything to do with the temple of God. I'm not one of the priests or one of the Levites. I'm not a carpenter or a fashioner of any kind. That's not my realm. But they couldn't do that. Haggai challenged the body, but he applied it to each individual. You yourself need to think about what you're doing, or what you have done, what you're doing, what you will do. Consider your ways. The truth is, transparently for me, as I look back over this past year, I can see victories. But I can also see some defeats. Sometimes when I've not been all I should have been and done all that I should have done, pursued Christ as passionately as I should have. I can look back over this past year and see fire and passion for the Lord, but I can also look back and see some areas in my life and times over this past year where the passion and the fire has not been what it should have been. So praise God that we can look back over the past year and see victory. Praise God for the growth. Praise the Lord for the answered prayer, for what we've learned, what He has taught us, the unexpected blessings, the prayers that we prayed with not as much faith as we should have had. Or the prayers that we prayed, not really expecting God to come through the way that He did. Praise the Lord for all of those things. For the people that we influenced for Him. For the relationships that were grown because of God's work in our lives. Praise the Lord for how He has brought us along and matured us in Jesus Christ. But as I look forward, the challenge from God's Word is consider your ways. And each of us as individuals need to reflect in our own lives on how we can move forward in a greater way for the cause of Christ. For the work of the Lord to do and to be all that He has designed us to do and to be. I find it interesting, but consistent with the scriptures that in Haggai chapter 1, even as the context is the temple of God, the overall thrust of Haggai's message was not the temple. What I mean by that is it wasn't necessarily, hey, children of Israel, you need to consider your ways because God's temple needs to be completed. No, actually, look at what the thrust of it was in verse number 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 7, consider your ways, verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Here was the overall thrust and theme of the message. It wasn't just as simple as get the temple done. It was about pleasing God and glorifying Him. Notice the two terms very briefly. God said, and I will have pleasure in it. The idea there is that God would favorably accept their efforts, their work. Can I ask you a question? Can you look back on 2019 and would the Lord allow you to sincerely say that 2019 was a year that God could favorably accept from me? As I look back on my pursuit of Christ, my desire to do and be all that God would have me to do and to be, as I look back on my prayer life, my walk with Jesus Christ, my ministry for Him, my testimony for Him to those around me, as I reflect on 2019, I can sincerely say that it was a year in my life that God could favorably accept, be well pleased with. And then he says at the end of verse 8, and I will be glorified, simply honored, lifted up, exalted. That's what God desires of each of us. Can I ask you to make a commitment to challenge yourself to make 2020 a year that when we come to the end of it, you could say to the best of your knowledge and ability that 2020 was a year for me that God could favorably accept. He was honored with this year in my life. Consider your ways. What have you done? What are you doing? What will you do with 2020? You have that sheet. I want you to glance at it for a moment. The challenge is to make 2020 the best year ever, considering Haggai 1:5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. On that sheet in front of you are 31 questions. And as I looked through this list of questions that are not original to me, I was convicted. Very thought-provoking questions. Here's the challenge for each of us with the sheet in front of us, is to go through this list of questions. They're thinking questions. They're questions that you can't just look at and pop an answer like that. I was sharing this with Stephanie a little bit earlier, and we were challenging each other about it specifically. We were looking at number one, for example. What one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? And as we were talking about it, Stephanie said, well, I feel that enjoying God is about spending time with Him. And that's certainly true. My comment to her was, the question is to increase my enjoyment of God. If I'm already spending time with him and enjoying it, the question is, how can I see that increase even more? It's thought-provoking, isn't it? So here's the challenge. There's 31 questions here, 31 days in January. Take one question a day. So even yet today, this evening, when you go home, consider question number one. What one thing could I do this year to increase my enjoyment of God? Now, let me encourage you that this is something that could be helpful within a family, to discuss within your family, to discuss with a brother or sister in Christ here within your church community. But I want you to consider again the challenge of Haggai 1:5. Consider your ways. It's personal. So while you may discuss it with a spouse, your children, a brother, a sister, a parent, brother or sister in Christ, the challenge for each of us is to answer the question for ourselves, and then what can I do to see it happen? So answering the question, what is one thing you could do this year to increase the enjoyment of God? Well, for me, it would be you fill in the blank. Okay, if that's how I can increase my enjoyment of God this year, then how do I accomplish that? Find the answer and make it happen. Take one question like that every day this month. Number one today, number two on January 2nd, number three on January 3rd, and answer the questions. Keep this in your Bible. Keep it with you where you do your Bible study each day. Put it on the fridge if that's where you need to see it. But I want to encourage you, I believe that if we'll consider our ways, and we'll make it very practical by answering questions like these and then determining how we can make it happen, with a commitment to follow through, we truly can make this the best year ever for ourselves and our lives. As we prepare to conclude the service, we're going to have first a prayer of thanksgiving. Just a prayer of thanks to God for the past year and the victories of this past year. I'll lead us in that, and I'll encourage you while I am praying, leading us, that you'll be praying in your own heart, thanking God for the victories of the past year, naming specific victories. And then we'll take a few moments to consider in our own hearts the list in front of us and make a prayer of commitment to God to make this the best year ever. Would you join me in a prayer of thanksgiving? You're welcome, if you'd like, to join us at the altar, to bow there in your seats. Let's pray together in thanksgiving to the Lord. Father, we are so thankful for the victories of 2019. Lord, as I look back on this past year, think about how you've protected me. How you've provided for me and my family. How you have grown me in different ways in my life, in my walk with you. Lord, the things you've taught me through defeat, discouragement, struggles, thank you for everything that you accomplished in this past year. I thank you that every day you gave me breath and life to serve you. And even when I failed to do so, you still enveloped me with your grace, your mercy that is unchanging, that is everlasting. Thank you for Christ. And the assurance in my heart every day of your love, of the salvation that I have through him. And the opportunity I have to honor you by being his light. Lord, I pray that as we just pause for a few moments to reflect on your goodness, that we would each earnestly and sincerely give you praise. Thank you for who you are, all that you've done. And we pray this trusting, knowing that you're going to continue your work, and asking you that you would help each of us to be more passionate for you, to bring you glory and honor in this year. Help us to seek our own hearts, to allow you to search our hearts, to show us how 2020 can be our best year yet. Help us to take the steps we need. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.